Thank you for listening to this podcast from International Living Radio. For 30 years, International Living has been showing people how they can live happier, healthier lives in some of the most beautiful places on earth for a fraction of what they pay at home. InternationalLiving.com, your source for living the good life for less overseas.
Hi, I'm Dan Prescher. What does a guy who used to build nuclear power plants for a living do when he retires? He moves to South America and reports on lifestyle and real estate, of course. In 2001, Lee Harrison took an early retirement as a director for one of the largest power generators in the U.S. and moved to Cuenca, Ecuador. Since then, Lee and his partner Julie have lived and traded real estate throughout South America, most recently in Brazil, Uruguay, and Colombia. Lee is International Living's roving South American editor and a favorite presenter at International Living events and conferences. And today he joins us to talk about his own strategies for living the expat life on Finding Your Overseas Paradise. Lee, thanks for joining us on Finding Your Overseas Paradise today. You're calling in from Uruguay, is that right?
Yeah, I'm home here in Punta del Este, Uruguay. And matter of fact, it's a nice fall day, and we just came off of daylight savings today, so I'm kind of getting used to the new time here.
You just came off daylight savings time.
Yes, we do the exact opposite daylight savings as the U.S. being here in the Southern Hemisphere. So, when we're 3 hours from Eastern United States, and sometimes we're 1 hour time difference, depending on who's on daylight savings and who's not. So,
it sounds great, and I want to ask you more about Uruguay, but first, when you retired, were a director of the largest power generating company in the United States. One would think that you could have retired any way you wanted to. What was the process that you went through that got you interested in retiring offshore in the first place?
Yeah. Good question. What happened was it started back. I was killing time in a bookstore in Arizona. And back buried in the reference section, for some reason, was a book called Choose Costa Rica by John Howells.
Oh.
And in there, he talks about his own life. You know, he retired, fairly young. I don't remember, but he had a home in Costa Rica for part of the year and a home in Mexico for the other part of the year. He was living back in those days, this is the mid-1990s, on $600 a month pretty comfortably. For the first time, I thought, well, geez, this is something I could do because my financial situation kind of was going to require me to work to at least 62 years old, if not maybe a little longer, had I stayed in the U.S. and done a normal U.S. retirement with U.S. style expenses. So I started looking at, I was not quite 50 at the time, and started looking at different countries. I was an International Living subscriber, had been for a couple of years, and kind of settled on Ecuador. But really, it was a financial decision based on the fact that I could retire a lot sooner than I could otherwise had I just maintained the normal work retirement model.
Right. And of course, we met when you were living in Cuenca, Ecuador. I think that was the first place that you lighted after you did your research. Is that right? In 2001?
Yeah, exactly. We oddly enough, we had decided pretty much to live in Mexico and in the city of Jalapa, and we went to Ecuador. You know, Julie said at the time, there is no way that I will ever live in Ecuador. And we were there one day and decided it was right for us, the city of Cuenca. So at the time we met, Dan, I think we had been there maybe a month.
Right.
And Susan,
both ended up in Ecuador at the same time. And you and Julie, your partner, ended up in Cuenca, Ecuador. We, of course, met when Susan and I got to Ecuador in 2001, and you have been writing and reporting for International Living ever since. And let me just mention that if you go to the International Living website and do a search on Lee Harrison, you will find your complete, what would we call it, your complete discography. And you have been writing and producing a long time for International Living. What was your latest project for IL? I know that you've done a lot of owner's manuals. Have you recently updated an owner's manual for international living?
The latest one that I had worked on was Brazil. It's one I had originally done from scratch, and then over the last couple of years have updated it with changes to, you know, laws and property prices and real estate markets and that sort of thing. So just finished up Brazil a short while ago, and I'm about to start on the Uruguay owner's manual coming up here pretty quickly.
And you have lived in all of these places, so let's orient ourselves on your timeline, because you have moved around South America a lot, which is one of the reasons that you're our preferred roving South American correspondent. You started in Cuenca. What caused you to move out of Cuenca to your next destination?
Yeah, funny you should ask. I hear that question a lot. We had the habit of taking turns picking where we were going to go for vacation for the year, you
right.
know, so In 2002, I think Julie picked Chile, and in 2003, I picked Uruguay, and then we had to postpone it, ended up coming in 2004. But after, 3 years in Cuenca, we came over here to Uruguay on vacation and really loved it, you know, because it was a very first world kind of an experience.
Right.
It was a European culture, great infrastructure. We loved the beaches, and I thought, well, geez, it'd be nice to have a $29,000 apartment in Montevideo, which was doable back at that time.
Right.
And because we liked it, we returned a couple of times, and I kind of got talked up from the $29,000 apartment to a house on the beach in Punta del Este. So,
sure.
And we ended up making it our permanent home over here. So we left Ecuador at the end of 2006. Mm-hmm. The Christmas week, as a matter of fact, 2006, we moved over here to Uruguay. And beyond that, we got our place a couple years later in Brazil and sort of used that for a summer home. And I guess we're still always have an eye out for a place that might look like fun, you know.
Well, that's one of the things that makes your input in the International Living Conferences so valuable, because I think it was directly attributable to you that Uruguay came up so high on International Living's radar for so long, was your reporting from there. And Brazil, likewise. You're now splitting time between Uruguay and Brazil, is that right?
Yeah, what we'd like to do is spend the summertime months down here in Uruguay, which is about to end, in April. It's going to start to
right.
get wintry down here, such as it is. We don't get snow or freezing weather, but it's...
But you guys do have seasons there, yeah.
Yeah, it has four seasons, and it's sure not beach weather, really, at least not without a good deal of clothing on, you know.
Right.
So I think in May we're going to have an IL assignment in southern Brazil, in Brazil's wine region. It's a mountainous wine region in southern Brazil that kind of looks to me like Vermont or New England, you know.
Terrific.
And have an assignment there to check that out, and then we'll probably move on up to northeast Brazil and spend the winter months up there.
And where in northeast Brazil are you?
Where we bought our house and was in a tropical island called Itamaracá.
Uh-huh.
And it's about 1 hour north of Recife, a small island, you know, just a few miles long, a couple miles wide. We've since sold that house, but we're going to go up this year and possibly look into buying another one. It's still beachfront. Properties are pretty inexpensive there. It's
right.
It's a very non-glamorous, very basic kind of an atmosphere. It's not much of a resort or anything, but very homey and affordable. You know,
just from talking about this with you, Lee, it's apparent that you guys did not approach your retirement with the idea of finding that one place where you'd spend the rest of your lives. You guys are also having fun trading real estate, exploring new areas. Was that consciously a part of your retirement strategy when you moved offshore, or is this something that just happened to you along the way?
I'd like to say it was part of a plan, but it really wasn't. I mean, at the time, we thought, I was kind of worried about finances because we didn't have that much savings or pension or anything. So I had figured we may well just be in Ecuador for good, you know, or at least
sure.
till I was old enough to collect Social Security. or old enough to get into my 401k, you know, that sort of thing. But as time went on, we found that the cost of living was so low there that I kind of quit worried about the finances so much and branched out a little bit. So we actually, these things just kind of came because the opportunity, you know, popped up in front of us, and we took it more so than we had actually planned to do anything, and bought things that we liked and sold them, you know, as the opportunities came and went. And
of course, since the cost of living and the relative property prices are so low, that's possible to do, even on what in the United States would seem like a limited retirement budget. It goes a lot farther outside the borders, yeah?
Yeah, exactly, Dan. As a matter, I often joke that I'd probably be eligible for food stamps if I were still in the States. And I'm not sure it's exactly true, but it's probably not far from the truth if it isn't true.
I know exactly what you mean. And now it seems that you're branching out again, and you have been poking around Colombia a little bit. Is that right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, we just came back last week, and really what we kind of focused in on there was the city of Medellin. Mm-hmm. For a couple of reasons. One is it's really nice. I mean, well, you've been there actually,
yeah.
So I mean, you know, the nice restaurants and parks and nice housing, condos, you know, and it's very, very reasonably priced right now.
Yeah, so, very clean, very well run, very modern city.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that no matter where else we live, Colombia is a place like Ecuador that is pretty much nice all the time. I mean,
yeah.
It only changes 1 degree centigrade all year long, so it's pretty much like high 70s during the day, high 60s at night, every day of the year. So no matter where else you may live, you could spend your off season in Colombia, and you know it's going to be nice weather.
So and you get the same, you get the same weather package anytime you go there.
Yeah, pretty much.
What is next for you guys? I mean, it doesn't look like you're showing any signs of slowing down. Do you have another destination or another place to explore in mind right now? I know you just got done with Colombia, but what's next for Lee Harrison?
Well, I don't know, you know, and it's in the typical unplanned fashion, you know, it's a we kind of are ready to stay any place, and we're kind of ready to, you know, grab anything new that comes along that looks like it's that we might enjoy it, you know.
Yeah.
So one place I've kind of wanted to check out for years and have never got around to it is Bolivia.
Yeah.
I have a friend in Santa Cruz that just speaks so highly of it and the lifestyle there and the cost of living that it's kind of made me, if nothing else, want to go check it out. And so that's kind of been the background there, working around.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing from you from there. And, of course, you will be up in Toronto in June at our International Real Estate Investment Forum, providing information from all the places that you've been to. Is that right?
Yeah, and in fact, that's a conference that I look forward to, you know, for the last couple of years, because we're very focused on properties and investment opportunities, and the people that come are fairly serious about taking action abroad, and it's just a good group to be with and a fun conference to attend.
And it gets bigger each year, and Toronto is a great place to have a conference, too.
It does, yeah. Toronto has turned out to be a really great destination. Everybody loves coming there.
Especially Toronto in June. It's a beautiful place to be.
Yeah.
Lee, I usually ask expats this, and your input is especially valuable since you've been doing this for so long. If you could give just one big piece of advice to people who are contemplating making this move for themselves, what's the best single piece of advice that you might offer somebody who's thinking about making this move?
I think what I would tell people is, generally speaking, sooner is better than later, just to give yourself more time to enjoy what has turned out for most everybody I've met to be a fantastic lifestyle option, and also go when you're able to and not when you're comfortable, because no place is perfect and no place is going to scale 100% on your rating system. So you go when you can and not necessarily when you think you have 100% assurance that all your ducks in a row, and basically go with an open mind and have fun. That's what's really made the success for us. You know, Bill Bonner said one time that you may not end up where you thought you would, but you'll end up where you belong.
And that's great. That is a great
saying. That's a good thought to keep in mind, and I think that's probably true, you know.
Lee, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talking with you today, and enjoy the rest of your day there in Uruguay.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Good talking to you.
Sign up for International Living's free daily postcards at internationalliving.com/radio and get a free report on the world's top retirement havens. These free daily postcards will give you more information on living the good life for less overseas. Thanks for listening to International Living Radio. You can hear more episodes of Finding Your Overseas Paradise at internationalliving.com/radio.